What about bevacizumab? To what extent is it being used right now? And there, almost always it's used in combination with chemotherapy, which, when you look at data, it makes it a little harder to figure out what's going on because it's kind of diluting the benefit. But any thoughts about bevacizumab?
Well, I have a checkered history with bevacizumab, as you may or may not know, because I was on ODAC both when it got approved for accelerated approval in breast cancer and then got removed or recommended against and removed from the label. And I think its use in breast cancer is at most sporadic at this point. But the bevacizumab originator certainly is used in colorectal cancer and ovarian cancer and in other disease settings. And I have no data. In fact, I don't think the biosimilar bevacizumab is yet being utilized or available in the marketplace. But my sense is that it's probably going to take the same type of path I just mentioned, being used maybe in metastatic colorectal cancer in combination with chemotherapy and in other advanced disease settings. But as you pointed out, it's very difficult in these combination regimens to necessarily sort out both toxicities and efficacy. We saw the same issue with bevacizumab, some work that we did while I was at Duke, where there was concern that bevacizumab increased the risk of venous thromboembolism in patients. And because it's an angiogenic agent, that seemed to make sense. And we had some pretty good data that there was a small increase in arterial thrombotic events. When we did the analysis, we did an individual patient data meta-analysis, we saw that because patients getting bevacizumab compared to chemotherapy alone were having longer durations of response, they were at risk for these events for about twice as long as the comparative chemotherapy alone arm. And if you adjusted for that, the significant effect on venous thromboembolism disappeared. So because of the dual use of these in combination with chemotherapy, almost all current indications, I think we're going to need a great deal of this post-marketing surveillance for all these agents. But I would say I'd put bevacizumab at the top of the stack in terms of making sure that clinicians are reporting very carefully adverse events. We hate to do it. We don't do it very well in some cases. But for these biosimilar agents, such as bevacizumab, trastuzumab, and even the growth factors, we really need to track these agents. The FDA is working with both industry and ASCO and their CancerLinQ effort to try to track safety and efficacy adverse events across the board. And they are particularly focused on, as these biosimilars come into clinical practice, to have as much tracking of their effects and adverse events as possible. And I can only encourage that. I think the more and more diligence we give after these are approved, the rare delayed side effects hopefully we'll capture and be able to get on top of reasonably quickly, even though it will be in the marketplace.